Nick Hornblower.
Log Talk Radio.
Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity.
happybirthday.com
Now, I can't remember the last time some woman was yelling that to Seth, ever.
Probably my wife.
Was she yelling that?
She's like, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, it's your freaking birthday, can I go to bed now? So she was yelling it, but in a different way.
Okay, well, happy birthday, Seth. This is the birthday show. So we both turned 40. This is the, the middle day, as we like to call it. Seth turned 40 yesterday. I turn 40 tomorrow. Seth and Sean Sports Radio. Welcome back to some big show. We don't exactly know what the big show is, but it is some big show. We will be talking all of Seth's favorites: soccer, MMA. Look, Conor McGregor supposedly is now back. John Jones.
There's better things to talk about. We'll get to MMA later.
Okay, so we'll talk to MMA a little bit later. First, we're going to talk soccer because we're both here. I don't know the first thing about soccer. And yet, for some reason, soccer is on the agenda today.
Yeah, it's the twice-a-year time. We will talk NBA playoffs, we'll talk NFL draft, which is why MMA probably be pushed back a little bit or pushed back into perpetuity. But when you have a 5,000-to-1 underdog win a championship, and this is not you win a one-game playoff to win it, you know, you sneak into the wild card like you're the Royals and come back from 7-2 down, you're a 5,000-to-1 underdog. You win a championship convincingly. There should be a tequila shot with your name on it. Leicester City, 2 years ago, they were. You know, if you know English soccer at all, which is probably the biggest sport in the world. Sorry for those of you who think it's the NFL. Only here it is. The bottom three teams get relegated to a lower division. And the teams that are the three best teams in the division below get promoted. So 2 years ago, Leicester was in the second division, or the first. It's called the Championship League. They get promoted last year, avoid relegation by a miracle. This year, they were the favorite to be sent back down again. They are 5,000-to-1 underdogs. To put that into perspective, Kim Kardashian had the odds on Kim Kardashian becoming president are 1,000-to-1. The odds on the 76ers winning the championship are 1,000-to-1. That means those things are five times more likely.
So, from what I recall, there was a bet placed in Vegas or in London, right, for about $400. And that person is going to make oogles and oogles of money.
Yeah. And what happened was, and it was interesting, on ESPN, they were showing how the odds lowered during the season from 5,000 to 1 to 1,000 to 1 to 250 to 1. This is a team, it's, I mean, I guess the only way to kind of to think about it from American terms, is if the tide, is it the Tidewater Tides? Are they no longer in existence?
It is now the Norfolk Tides.
Norfolk Tides won the Triple A championship, got promoted to the to Major League Baseball, and in their second year, with no real additional transactions to bring in high-priced players, won the World Series. And the way the English Premier League works is you play every team twice, once at home, once on the road, and whoever has the best record wins. It's the fairest way to do anything. And this team, out of nowhere, you know, is up, clinched the championship today when Tottenham tied to Arsenal, tied Chelsea, excuse me. So it's an amazing feat.
Yeah, to put that in perspective, the 1969 Mets, who had never made a World Series, they had never made the playoffs.
Have they ever been over 500?
I don't believe so. In 1962, they had actually lost 120 out of 160 games.
Was the manager.
So here we are in 1969, and the Mets go into the series, go into the season. Just to understand, they were 1,000-1 odds. So they had never even come close to a – I believe they had won 500 once, maybe, in the 7 years. But that was probably the biggest odds to make to win the World Series that year. And they're 1,000-1. This is 5,000-1. This is like, I don't know if there is an NCAA team, if you could say like Columbia when they went like 0-49 in five straight years to win the national championship. I think that might be, or Prairie View A&M or something along those lines. Well, most books don't take it. I mean, that's the other thing. Most sports books don't take more than 1,000-1. The field is 1,000-1.
There really is no, you know, it's Tin Cup, to quote a bad movie reference that I know Sean would appreciate.
Bad movie? Really?
Mediocre.
Okay. I'm not going – look, we're celebrating your birthday. I am not going to justify Tin Cup as a good movie, but – you might want to be saddled sometime. Go on.
Our first obscure movie reference of the day by Mr. Palmer. There's no comparison. It's Tunisia winning the Olympic gold medal in basketball. It's, I don't know, University of Maryland winning, well, anything, but no. You know, it's the Browns winning five consecutive Super Bowls. It's whatever you want to call it, it doesn't exist. These odds have never existed before. To give you a perspective, there's a team, Manchester City, who's run by a Saudi Arabian oil company, oil baron or whatever you want to call it. Their lineup, you talk about the Yankees, their lineup was 500, I believe somewhere between $500 and $520 million, their starting lineup. I believe that Leicester's was somewhere in the range of, and this is from transfers and how much they paid for these players, not as opposed to their salaries. It works a little bit differently. I believe for Leicester, it was about 15 to 20 million. There's never been anything like this. And whether you like soccer, dislike soccer, you know, don't care about English Premier League, which is fine, but the magnitude of the upset is so enormous that you really do have to kind of take a step back and take stock on it.
So how many games did they win? Because it's obviously it's not a one-game playoff. We understand this. They go through a tournament, right?
There is no playoff. It's a 38-game season.
Okay.
There's 20 teams in the league. Every team plays a team road and away. Home and away, excuse me.
Fair.
So I want to say they're about 22 wins, 10 ties, and 4 draws, or 4 losses, something like that.
Okay, so they proved it over the course of a year.
That's why it's not a tournament.
It's not
Mason going getting a fluke invite to the draw and running in the final four.
I understand.
You know, it's not Hughes coming from nowhere to be the UVA.
I was just going to say that this year. It's not the same. Understood.
You go to Tottenham, who's going to end up number 2, and you win. You go to Man City, number 3, and you win. These are legitimate things.
Okay, well, congrats.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about it. I'll tell you one thing. the name is Lester.
Yeah.
They are much better than you and I, because picking our NFL draft last week,
awful.
I mean, so their winning percentage, they went 22 and what?
22 wins, I think 10 losses, 10 ties and 4 losses.
So 36 games, they won 20 of them, right?
22.
So they're 11 out of 18, give or take, right? 11 out of 18 is the odds. So about 60%, right? Well, you and I barely cracked a third, okay? Barely cracked a third. So let's go through our – first of all,
if anyone wants to talk about this and talk about the draft and talk about NBA playoffs or any of this stuff, 760-283-0847.
Even more so, if you just like to wish us a happy birthday, that works too. So 760-283-0846. So I won the draft.
We haven't won any in a while. So
agreed. I won by 3 points. Now, that is not saying a whole lot considering both of us shat the bet. Okay, we really did. So I wound up with 59 out of a possible 155 points. That's bad. Seth wound up with 56 out of a possible 155 points. And I have to tell you, it's not even fair to give us that many. Because the first two picks in the draft were pretty much a given. So Seth got 5 picks flat on. I got 4 picks flat on, spot on. Now, 2 of those were the first 2 picks in the draft. So, basically, you got 3 guys, and I got 2 spot on. Now, I would like to give myself a little bit of credit in that I did get the Jets pick spot on, and I was very happy with Darren Lee. You got the wide receivers when the run started. I started 1 pick earlier. You got it spot on. But to be fair, you only got it because of the trade. So, you got Dotson and Treadwell going 22 and 23 only after the Skins traded back to get him. And I had Treadwell going to the Skins just earlier. So, you know what? We both suck. It's just that hopefully we'll do better on the NBA draft.
We are what you call for this draft, and well, for me, for the last of the NCAA tournament.
Ungood.
I'm just ungood.
It's definitely the word of our show is ungood. We did get we both got Buckner right with the ninth pick in the seventh pick in the draft. Other than that, I don't know. Laramie Tunsil. Really screwed us both over, and everybody else.
Well, to be fair, he screwed himself over more than anyone else. And whoever posted that video, and I don't know if it's as of the last time I went online, they haven't released it yet.
No, they have no idea yet.
You know, I have never quite seen anything like it.
Wait, have you never seen anything like the video?
I have never
somebody
seen
posting the video? Because I'll go 2 for 2.
I have never seen either. Now, perhaps I'm a bit naive. I never really thought of myself as naive, but that could be true. I have admittedly hit the bong from time to time in my prior life.
Before parenthood.
Well, we're still before parenthood, so we're not there yet. But yeah, more in my late teens, early 20s. I never wore a gas mask looking like I was in the middle of a bomb hitting my apartment.
Here's the thing, though. Where would you even get a gas mask when we were in college? I don't know. In 1996.
Probably an Army-Navy surplus store.
Maybe.
You ain't going on eBay.
Right, maybe. But that was scary. Like, to see it, it reminded me of Halloween. I really thought it was Halloween again. And Adam Schefter posted this picture. The first time I saw it was on the draft, or it was on NFL Live, so it must have, the NFL Network, so it must have been Kurt Warner and Rich Eisen. I look at this thing, and I go, huh, that's an interesting. What is he doing? Now, I am more naive than Seth. I have never hit the bong at all.
Wah-wah.
Right, it's not a wah-wah. Look, it's a personal choice, and I had no idea what he was doing. The same way as the first time I saw a bong. I thought it was a bassoon. I really thought it was a musical instrument.
It kind of felt like Darth Vader. I was actually saying the guy from Spaceballs.
Lord Vader?
Lord Vader. Hitting your balls.
If you'd like to call in, 760-283-0846. 760-283-0846. Look, Laramie Tunsil lost a lot of money. No question. He lost about $6 to $8 million just in the drop. He definitely was not going number one or number two. But
supposedly he wasn't going – but here's the thing. Supposedly he wasn't going three or four either. And you look at the draft and how it played out. This is not a Brady Quinn drop, which ended up being Lawrence the drop.
But it could have been.
If it wasn't Miami, it would have been interesting to see how far he would have gone.
Because
down.
If you go down the list, if it's not Miami at 13, okay, can the Raiders take him? They might.
Yeah, I mean
the Raiders kind of took a reach.
The Titans weren't going anywhere. Titans and Browns were not going anywhere close to that guy. The Lions?
Yeah, the Lions
could very well have.
Right, but the question is with these guys, is you also looking at the character with Tunsil, right?
Right.
So you're looking at the Lions. Lions, after the Charles Robinson and Titus Young.
Charles Rogers
and Titus Young, they're not going for those guys
very often. The question is
Nick Fairley, another guy.
And this is something that's hard for us to make a determination on. Is the caliber of what this guy is. Is he a screw-up, or is this a one-off? Look, he also did this 2 or 3 years ago. This isn't something that happened 1 month ago or 3 months ago. And look, if I was in college before Leo taking me, God freaking help me. My life would be over.
But you should have people around you that are smarter than this. If you are going to get to this point.
But here's the thing.
It's the password thing that concerns me.
Yeah.
It's not the fact that he was videotaped. Okay, he's a moron, right? Or he has friends that are morons. And look, you and I
have friends who are morons.
But would you ever give out your Twitter password or your Facebook password? Anybody but your wife?
My wife doesn't have
my
password.
So it's not the point of somebody videotaping me. It's... who the heck am I giving my passwords to? And granted, my brothers probably could guess my password. So if my brothers really wanted to do something, they could. But there's no indication this is a family.
Nice to meet you.
No. Actually, that's a very good choice, but no. That's quite impressive, but no. It has nothing to do with nice.
So, yeah. And now what's interesting is you're going to a team, talk about a team that, you know, as we said, when you're in this position, You want to go to a team that is just steady throughout. Steelers, Mooney, Tomlin.
Right, but there's no way a Steelers takes him.
Well, that's the point.
Why disagree?
Because they have the stability to bring him in. Kind of like the Patriots did with Moss.
You already have the structure there. Okay, but you can claim. Look, I agree with the structure. My point is Moss had already been established. Moss had already proven himself. When he wasn't an idiot, was an all-pro.
Yeah.
This guy, you don't know him at all. So you're bringing a guy, you're bringing a 22-year-old, not a 34, not a 31-year-old.
There's
a little bit of a difference, especially when you're talking about the Steelers now, who are first dealing with Marcus Wheaton not being there the whole year. No, is it Wheaton or Bryan?
Bryan.
Martavius Bryan. The last thing they want is another idiot.
No, I understood. But I did find it surprising Miami, not thank you. With the minimum structure, you bring in a new coach. Tannenbaum is not a guy.
I agree.
That kind of whatever it is, it doesn't have it.
There's no leadership on that team. Ndamukong Suh is their defensive quote leader, but doesn't show up for off-season workouts.
Right.
He's working out on his own. Your offensive leader is Ryan Tannehill, who threw everybody under the bus last year. They have Devontae Parker. They got rid of Greg Jennings. Yeah, they don't have leadership on that team in the quote-unquote leadership role.
Right. And your coach is a first-year coach who somehow got personnel access, which is unprecedented for a first-year coach. So it makes sense that they would take a shot on him. If you saw that press conference, and I did. It was a cluster beak. I mean, it was the guy's like, I don't want to talk about this. I just want to talk about joining the Dolphins. Nobody cares. You're an offensive lineman. Nobody cares about you joining the Dolphins. They want to talk about this. They want to talk about how Ole Miss paid you. They want to talk about how credit to prime time to Deion Sanders, of all people, for asking about this. Did his stepfather, who had sued him, which talks about, tells you about the family dynamic as a whole, for confronting the questions on the during the draft, which is certainly not an easy thing to do.
Well, let's be a little cautious when we accuse who to do what. And Deion said, actually asked him the question, it was your stepfather. Or was it your stepfather? And that was a great question.
It was accusatory in an underlying theme.
Great question. I agree. And like you said, of all people, Deion Sanders gets to ask this. But you know what? Good for him. Really good for him. But at this point, you take it upon yourself to say, you know what? This guy might have been hacked. And if it comes out to be that he was hacked, you do have to have some sympathy for him. And I had a lot of problems with Mike Mayock's
comment. I agree. He
redacted when they came back from break. So somebody, in my opinion, somebody went in his ear and said, "Look, Mark, what did you just say? Think about it." He said, "I have sympathy for Miles Jack. I have sympathy for Jalen Smith. I have no sympathy for Laramie Tunsil." Look, at the end of the day, this guy is still 22 years old, and we all made mistakes at 22.
Nah.
Yeah, whatever. But I think it's more to the point is, wow, he got paid? Really? I mean, I think that's the biggest thing to come out of that, was that he basically, when supposedly his Instagram account was hacked, which I have to say, probably have the same password as his Twitter account because
1, 2, 3.
That's the combination
four,
of my life. Which
and yes, ladies and gentlemen, the second Spaceballs reference of the last 15 minutes.
But I think that's more of an important conversation to have. Hugh Freeze looked like he was taken aback a little bit, and I would be too.
Well,
talk about a program getting thrown under the bus.
Maybe we'll have to go back to coaching the high school team from the blind side.
Yes.
Same coach. That was interesting. It was an interesting draft. Obviously, you have two quarterbacks, and we'll see whether Goff was the right call or not. I'm not sure he was, but that's fine. Who did you think did really well? Well, actually, let's talk about our teams first. Let's talk about the Jets taking Darren Lee.
Well, I love the Darren Lee pick. That's who I picked in the pre-draft choice for me. But at the same time, I didn't like the Hackenberg pick. I know that the Jets are perpetually going after a quarterback. They need one. They need one long-term. Is this the guy? I don't know. Is he much better than the Connor Cooks of the world? Probably not. So why are you wasting, and I say wasting, a second-round pick on this guy when you probably could have gotten him in the third or somebody like Connor Cook who went in the fourth, I believe. The fact is, this is a team right now, the Jets, that is built for today, not built for tomorrow. Every single one of their main players is over 30 years old. The Hackenberg pick was not a pick for today. It was a pick for tomorrow, and that is a little troubling to me. The rest of the draft I really did like. The Giants, I think, reached a little bit. I think they wanted Tunsil, but they couldn't pull the trigger.
This is my feeling on the Giants. I think the Giants actually had a fantastic draft, except for the first pick.
Agreed.
I love their picks, literally 2 through 6. Eli Apple. He signed Janoris Jenkins for $62 million. You still have Dominic Rogers Cromartie, who went to the Pro Bowl last year, which that doesn't mean very much because everybody goes to the Pro Bowl. Except
for the people that bow out, and then other people go to the Pro Bowl.
Everybody gets invited to the Pro Bowl, is a better way to articulate it. I'm not sure. You know, Apple was somewhere in the 20s for everybody. I had talked about him going to Cincy or Pittsburgh or something along those lines.
I think they reached.
I thought if they were going to take Apple. My feeling is they should have traded back to 15 or 16. He probably would have been available. Or you could have gotten a different kind of quarterback, a smaller, faster, feistier guy that I like more than William Jackson from Houston. That aside, I thought they had a heck of a draft. I like the Sterling Shepard pick. Everyone seemed You know, he's a good possession receiver. He'll fill the slot well if Kuz can come back. Between the three of these guys, if Kuz comes back, excuse me, Kuz, Beckham, and Shepard, you have a great trio.
Agreed. If he comes back.
If he comes back. Number the third round pick, they take the safety, which they needed from Boise State, who is number two or number three safety. He'll play with Landon Collins.
They have
drafted their running back in the fifth round, Paul Perkins, and they've gotten the tight end in the sixth round, Adams from South Carolina. I really like the draft, other than Apple in the first round.
Well, Apple in the first round went because they couldn't get Jay Conklin. I mean,
Jack Conklin.
When they the Giants got leapfrogged by the Titans, going back to number eight in a trade with the Browns, I think the Giants got flustered, and I think they were looking for a guy for value, and they saw Eli Apple, and they look. It's never bad to have too many cornerbacks in this league. Never bad to have too much in the back seven. But this is totally against the Giant MO of let's put as much pressure on the quarterback, and we can deal with okay back seven as opposed to front four. And the problem was. That I see was number eight went Conklin, number nine went Floyd, and they would have taken either one of those guys had they landed there.
Yeah, I'm not as big on Floyd. Floyd spent a good year, and I know he ran up. I don't love people who run up
the draft at the end, kind of on the last minute.
And I would have been fine
with another defensive lineman, whether it was Rankin or whether it was. Tackle off,
Rankins isn't defensive tackle, so I mean those are different guys, right?
But they have Dalton
Rankins. They don't really have a second one.
Yeah. You don't need one with Big Snacks. I mean, Big Snacks takes up the whole line. You don't really need anybody else. But yeah, I think they wanted a pass rusher or an offensive lineman, and they couldn't find either one in that spot. And they went for what they could use. You could, like I said before, you could always use cornerbacks. So as far, if you want to call in 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846, there were certainly runs in this draft that I don't believe I had seen in a while. You had an offensive line run very early in this draft between 1 and when did Decker go? 1 and 16.
Six and sixteen.
You had Stanley, Conklin, Tunsil, and Decker. So four out of eight picks went those offensive linemen. And then there really wasn't another one even to be had until Garnett with 28.
And he went up. That was kind of a trade up.
San Francisco trading up to get a guy they probably could have gotten in the second round. But again, there must have been, I'm sure there's a message to the Madden.
The one thing that I endorse is when a GM wants somebody and he goes and gets them. Look, how many times does a fifth rounder never matter? Or
90% of the time.
Right. Or even a fourth rounder not matter. If you need to jump four spots to go get your guy, look, we say this all the time in our fantasy football draft, right? You go spend it. You go get it. And Jerry Jones is kicking himself for not doing it.
Yeah,
you read the money
about a Monday night morning quarterback.
Right. And Peter King pointed out that Jerry Jones wanted Paxton Lynch and wouldn't give up a four or wouldn't give up a three. He was willing to give up a four. If Paxton Lynch becomes a Pro Bowl quarterback in the next 10 years, that four is worthless.
If he becomes the starter, regardless, the fourth round is useless.
Were you surprised by Miles Jack's fall out of the first round?
Shocked. I was praying that he was going to fall to the Giants in the second round.
I think everybody was praying that he'd fall to their team in the second round.
Because the story seems to be, and props to Jacksonville for really pulling one hell of a draft.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Pulling Jalen Ramsey, their number one overall player with the first pick. And Miles Jack, supposedly their number two or number three overall player in the second pick. On the second round.
He's not going to need reconstructive surgery. So it may take a year to become what he was. This is a guy who was such a phenomenal athlete his freshman year, played running back and corner, and linebacker, excuse me. And yeah, I think they were phenomenal. And this is a year where Gus Bradley has to show some results. I think this is a team that could surprise in a very weak division.
I wouldn't be surprised. That's the thing. I mean, I think if you look at their team top to bottom right now, I think they're better than the Colts. I think their defense is phenomenal. They were
like 30th in the league in defense.
Let's remember, they get back Dante Fowler, their first-round pick last year.
Which is an unknown at this point.
Okay, but look, ACL injuries are recoverable. And he's had a full year because he did it on the first day of training camp last year. So he's had 12 months by the time he starts. They got Malik Jackson coming back, right?
Well, coming from Denver.
They now have Miles Jack. They have Ramsey. They have solidified that defense. And you give Bortles another year with Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson, I think they're better than anybody in that division. I really do.
I'm not sure they're better than Houston. Houston getting the wide receiver help they need.
And they got a lot of it.
They drafted
four of them, I think.
Well, the big one being Will Fuller, the speedster from Notre Dame. They bring Lamar Miller in from free agency.
Yep.
Baylor's
all about the quarterback.
Yeah, this will show whether Osweiler
is the guy.
And, you know, I personally, the idea that they signed the guy to a four-year, $72 million contract and the coach never met him, I find it ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's the way free agency works these days. Look, you have to sign right away, also you have a problem. If you want to call in 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846, we're taking calls for the next 28 minutes on the birthday show. But I do think that Jacksonville, to me, and I mean, a lot goes on with how Blake Bortles develops and how they can keep him off the ground. They got the best team in that division. They got the most talent. I really think they had the most talent in that division, and this draft was amazing for them. It was the cap.
It was. You know, there were teams that did really well. There were teams that it's going to be hard to determine. You know, a team I guess you kind of think about,
the
Moneyball
team
of the NFL.
The Cleveland Browns.
Well, you all know that for 3 years. I mean, they turned two picks into 12. I mean, by the time they were all set.
Is Scott Hattenberg going to be one of the draft?
No, but he will be the equipment coach.
There you go.
Equipment.
They do end up with a wideout in the first round in Corey Coleman from Baylor, the fastest guy, the fastest receiver in the draft.
They get Ricardo Lewis
from Auburn. They draft Cody Kessler. You know, a great college quarterback, but you're from California to play college football in California. How many of you can throw in December over Lake Erie?
You could say the same thing for Andrew Luck.
He plays in the dome.
No, but I'm saying he's got an arm that plays there.
But I don't know if Kessler has the arm.
Well, that may be, but the example of they're not – look, John Elway, Stanford, right?
Right.
California boy went to Denver and played in the cold of Denver and Cleveland.
John Elway
kind of won.
Was one of the five greatest quarterbacks of all time. I don't think anyone's putting Cody Kessler.
No. I understand. And remember, Cleveland's not playing this for this year.
No, this is a team that's building for 2018.
This is the restock year. We're going to take
every year is a restock year for Cleveland.
No, every year is a wait till next year for them. This is actually a restock year. I mean, they have two number ones, two number twos, and two number threes next year. They have two drafts. I want that draft. The Jets had that draft once. They have four number ones in 1 year.
Back John Abraham, Chad Pettington, Mark Astanoa,
John Ellis.
I'm glad I got three of the four.
You did get three of the four.
John,
and you know what? Those four guys made the Jets a playoff team.
Yeah. Abraham was an all-pro. Ellis was a solid player. Kind of a bug.
Right, but the point was, if you get four first-round picks or eight,
picks in the first two rounds in two consecutive years, unless you are the St. Louis Rams, you're probably going to do well. And they have RG3. They didn't even need to draft them. They got him.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have an interesting quarterback, just a bit quarterback, I don't want to say controversy, but because, I mean, you're a team literally playing for fourth place in that division. But it's one of the few quarterback battles that's out there. I guess San Francisco is one. The Jets maybe one. I don't know what the Jets are. I guess you cut Bryce Petty. I'm assuming he's not the answer at this point. I'd like to pick last year, 2 years ago, Petty.
Well, I think they figured out that Petty's not the guy long term. So the question is at this point, A, you better re-sign Ryan Fitzpatrick because right now they don't have a quarterback. They say that they're going in with Geno Smith, and if they go in with Geno Smith, they might as well call this a 3-13 year. The fact is, if it's not – if Ryan Fitzpatrick does come back, I wouldn't be surprised if Geno Smith is cut and they play with Bryce Petty as the backup for Hackenberg.
Right. Hackenberg the third string for the entire
right.
year.
Because if they go downhill, which looking at the Jets' schedule, they have the potential, if they are a good team and not a great team this year, if they don't put what they did last year in the same aura, they will be 2-6 in their first eight. And if they are 2-6 in their first eight, that's basically a losing season right then and there. And you may see Christian Hackenberg anyway.
No, the hope is that they are a solid wild card team with the potential to do better.
So who were your surprises in the first round? Caleb Joseph to me, going to the Raiders.
Carl
Joseph with the 13th pick, I believe it was 13th pick over 15. The strong safety out of West Virginia.
Yeah, thought he was a second-round pick. Neil, the safety, going to Atlanta from Florida is a little bit weird. I was surprised that people trade up, that was the Titans trade up for Conklin.
See, I wasn't surprised because that was the whole tackle run, and I really think that the Giants would have taken him at 10.
Oh, they would have taken Conklin in the second.
So they went and got their guy. Right? I mean, at the end of the day, they went, and that team had the ammunition to do it. After making the trade with St. Louis to begin with, they had a whole lot, they were like the Browns. They had ammunition. So why not use it and go get your guy?
Again, in a team that's interesting, although bringing Derrick Henry, I find strange considering they just signed DeMarco Murray. They may have a wide out that they drafted. I don't remember off the top of my head.
I think of one. The thing is with that team is they're going to be smashing. It's going to be smash mouth football.
Yeah, but you still need a receiver, too. And your best receiver is Dorian Green Beckham, who you don't know what you're getting from him.
Agreed.
Or Delanie Walker, who's like he's about 73 years old.
Also agreed. Delanie Walker's not there anymore.
He's not in Tennessee?
Oh, maybe he is. I'm missing up Jared Cook. I agree. They are just going to pound and pound and pound that ball. And according to reports, John Robinson called DeMarco Murray before the Derrick Henry draft pick and said, look, I want you to groom him for 2 years from now so you don't take as much of a pounding as you have. That's a good 1-2 punch. Derrick Henry to me is an underrated player. I would have loved the Jets or any team that I would be a fan of to take him. What teams were you surprised that they went out of their comfort zone? We had talked a couple of times about the Redskins, and I had picked them with a wide receiver, and you said, no, they got so much wide receiver talent, they don't need another wideout. And there they go, and they get another wideout.
Actually, but I picked that they were taking Dotson. Well, I detected taking Dotson, and Skins traded up.
Right.
I guess the way you look at it, the Skins had a decent draft. The way you have to look at it from their perspective is that Pierre Garçon is a free agent after this year.
Sean
Jackson is a free agent after this year. So Dotson's not going to get much PT. He's not going to be a big fantasy guy this year, but a year or two down the road, he could be the main guy. I thought the Bengals had a really good draft. They ended up with I think they ended up with Wayne Jackson. They needed a corner. They got a corner.
They needed a wideout. They took Tyler Boyd from Pittsburgh, the number two. They needed one defensive line to help Atkins. They took Andrew Billings, who was a number one. It was a first-round pick on some people's boards. He ended up going fourth round.
I thought
they did very well.
So who did poorly?
Who did poorly? I didn't love – who is it? I'm trying to think. I kind of blend a little bit with these.
I didn't love Hargraves to the Saints.
Obviously, I think he's too early for him.
Okay.
Hargraves to the Bucks. I'm sorry. That's my fault.
The Saints picked the defensive rankings, which was perfect to me.
Yeah, it was my fault on that. I mean, the Patriots didn't have too much because they just didn't have a pick.
Well, they didn't have a first-round pick, right? I mean, I like Keenan Reynolds going to the Ravens. First of all, it's a very good story, but even more so, a good player. Like, if you can groom a player, John Harbaugh is the guy that can groom a special teams player, and that's what he's going to be. There were a lot of good stories in this draft. And much as there are every other draft, I mean, look, when you're taking 300 players, more than that, what, 30 players, about 240 players, there are going to be some good stories. And
I'll tell you one I didn't like.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the Cowboys.
Well, you did not. You were against the running back from the very beginning, taking it number
four. Yeah, I didn't like Elliott at four because it makes no sense to me. You have DeMarco Murray, who 2 years ago led them with 1,800 yards rushing, whatever it was.
Yep.
You can put a confident, McFadden was very good once they started starting him last year.
Agreed.
They pick up Alfred Morris. But don't think, you're the fourth pick in the draft. You have no defensive line. Hardy's gone. Gregory's pretty much on. It's just going to be on suspension. Joey Bosa was not there.
Right, so...
They also don't have a second. You know, the secondary is mediocre. Morris Claiborne is one of the biggest busts of the last 10 years.
Orlando Scandrick and Brandon Carr.
Yeah.
Look, I get it. So you would have liked Ramsey there.
I would have liked Ramsey there. I would have liked anything but Elliott there. There weren't a team where I thought it was a necessity.
Okay.
And the running back, if he ends up running for 2,000 yards... It's hard to argue, but I think that line between Frederick and Zach Martin, that's a really good line. Anyone's going to run for 1,300 yards behind that, and they have more needs.
But the thing is about the two guys that they have, McFadden always gets hurt, right? I mean, he's China shop. Alfred Morris averages 3.5 yards a carry, so he's a cloud of dust the minute he hits the line. He's not breaking any tackles. Neither one of those guys is three down backs. Neither one of them. This gives them a three down back, probably the best back, definitely the best back in this draft, and perhaps the best back in the last four or five drafts going back. Well, who are you putting there?
I have to think back. I also look back on
okay.
the draft numbers. I can't think of
certainly back. In the draft, coming into the draft, maybe later you may have changed.
Well, he's a hell of a player. I'm not really disputing that. I just, considering this is a team that, A, probably should be the favorite to win the NFC East if healthy. But potentially, the NFC East is a complete crap.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't have a favorite.
Yeah, the team is equally favorite.
Sure.
Because they're all medium.
Sure.
They take a linebacker in Jalen Smith, who they don't know if there will be a recovery. Now, if he does recover, and I realize this is the Jerry Jones way, he could end up being all pro. But
Jerry Jones takes shots.
He does, and you got to give him props for that.
And I do, because you know what? When you're the owner of the team and the general manager, you can take as many shots as you want because the only person that's firing you is you. So if you're going to take a shot, he's the guy that's going to take it. Some of the shots that he has taken in the past have panned out. Some of them have not. I don't have a problem with him taking Jalen Smith in the second round at all. I think that was a tremendous pick for him.
Well, again, they were still – if it was that tremendous, they wouldn't have really worried about trying to trade up to get Lynch.
Well, no. A little different, right? I think it was a tremendous pick where it was. I don't think that – if they could get Lynch, well, look, if I can get John Elway
and I get Steve Young, I'm okay with Steve Young, even though I could have gotten John out. I mean, come on. At that point, I think you're parsing here. And you know what? If Paxton Lynch becomes that guy, then Jerry Jones will be kicking himself for 10 years. But Jalen Smith becomes a serviceable linebacker. Those are few and far between, too, for 10 years. What do you think of Denver trading up for Paxton Lynch? Do you think of that? I think
I liked it.
I loved it, actually.
Look,
again, he made his call. I'm going to go get my guy.
Yeah. And as we said, this is something we've learned, again, fantasy league as opposed to real life.
But it's the same thing.
The premise is relatively similar, though. Is if I want three guys in this draft and I can get two of them by doing X, Y, and Z, then I do it.
Well, and that's why I never had a problem with Mike Ditka trading everybody for Ricky Woods. It was a little.
It was a bit much.
But you know what? If Ricky Williams becomes Adrian Peterson, which he did not, but if he had become Adrian Peterson, would you trade a whole draft for Adrian Peterson? Because I sure as heck would.
Yes, I probably
would. I don't know what that was.
I don't know what that was either.
That was interesting.
Sean, do you have a female stalker?
I do not, hopefully.
Kind of hopefully? Maybe hopefully?
No, definitely not hopefully. We're doing this from Sean's place this week. A little change with a glass of tequila
in our hands. I guess we should probably, we have about 15 minutes left. We should probably jump over to the playoffs for both the NBA and the AHL.
I said the NHL. No, you said the AHL.
I did not say the AHL. The AHL hasn't existed in...
The AHL still
exists. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of the WHL. The AHL is a minor league.
That is the jerky tequila as well this evening.
Yes, apparently so. Now, congratulations. You won your first round of the playoffs for the first time since David Bullock scored in Game 7 of the 93 series against the Penguins.
Let me tell you a little story. It'll be very, very quick.
You've never told the story very, very quick in your life.
My brother Mitch, who we all know is an avid Islander fan, he's always been on delay for these series because he's streaming the game. So every time I call him, I kind of do a Mario Chalmers to Seth, and I say, hey, they scored before, and then Mitch catches up like 2 or 3 minutes later. When the Islanders scored in double overtime to win the series, I called my brother. I said, my brother asked me, so is it over? And I said, yeah, overtime's over. Not telling him who won. He goes, oh, okay. I was like, yeah, it's over. And he's like, he said to me, well, you're not screaming, so I assume that they lost. And I said, it's over. 2 minutes later, my brother is screaming his head off. And he gets back on the phone. He goes, why didn't you tell me? I said, Mitch, it's 22 years in the making. I couldn't ruin that. And it's 100% true for Islander fans everywhere. It was a great series. Glad we won. Now we have a hard series against Lightning, 1-1, going into tomorrow night's game, where I hope to be at. So I can give you a report next week as how rocking Barclays is going to be, which is still very awkward to say. The Rangers are out. That only is the second best thing that happened in the NHL playoffs. Pittsburgh and the Capitals are tied 1-1. And on the flip side, the Blackhawks are out. So there goes Mice.
And the Kings are out.
So the NHL playoff pool that I'm in is totally gone. Anaheim is out. So
And fired their coach
within 24 hours. So all in all, not a bad series. And the NBA playoffs, no Stephen Curry so far. Can they win without Curry?
They can win this series without Curry.
Can they win the whole thing without Curry?
No, they can't beat San Antonio without Curry.
Can they beat San Antonio even with Curry?
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure.
If he's at 100%, they had the greatest record in the history of the NBA. How could you take them
Wait a second. So who has the second best? Who has the third best record in the NBA history? So the Spurs were in the top 10 this year of record.
They had a phenomenal year. Yeah. You said, can they win?
Okay. Will they win?
If he's healthy, yeah.
Okay. Chances of him being healthy after having a grade one knee sprain for two to 3 weeks.
Well, it also is contingent on how long the other series goes. Now, supposedly he can come back for game three. I don't think they should force him back or rush him back. They should be able to beat Portland. You know, Portland has a very good backcourt, but they don't have much else. And they won pretty easily without him last night. I think they won by about 20.
I think
they should be able to get through Portland.
And you know San Antonio is going to be able to get through the Clippers because
Thunder.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah. Maybe not.
That's not quite the same.
No, definitely not the same without Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, who both were hurt, which is an ironic conversation that Seth and I had last week when we said, what team could ill afford to lose one player in the NBA playoffs? And my response was, the Clippers could ill afford to lose Chris Paul more than any other team in the NBA playoffs. And the fact that he went out mere minutes after we had that conversation, no irony whatsoever. The East, the Raptors won a series.
Woo! First time since their best player was
Vince Carter.
There you go.
It's been a while for that team, and they finally go over the hump. And Atlanta got over the hump too in beating the Celtics because they had never beaten the Celtics in a in an elimination game in Boston.
Wait a minute! Didn't the Atlanta Hawks beat the Celtics in the 58 championship with Bob Pettit scoring 50?
Yeah, maybe in the maybe that's in the last 50 years. I don't know. It's been a while. Dominique could never beat him in Boston.
That is true.
So, and the Hawks are good. I mean, they're healthy. They have as much talent as anybody else in the East. I don't think they are a contender to beat Cleveland.
We just said there isn't a song anywhere.
Well, talent-wise, I think
outside of Cleveland.
Well, talent-wise, they probably have as much as Cleveland. Talent-wise. Look, take away the top...
What do you mean you're the top 15? How is that possible?
Hey, man, nobody else.
What do you mean you're the top 15? How much more do you need? Because we don't have anyone in the top 30.
Alan Horford? Al Horford?
Alan Horford? Yeah. Is that Al's brother?
Al Horford? Top 30?
He's not even the best player on the team. Millsap is.
The Millsap?
Is that? I'd love to see a competitive series here. But Atlanta was phenomenal last year, and Cleveland beat them in four without Kevin Love.
I can't imagine that they can make a better run.
They may win a game or two, but I can't imagine three that competitive.
Okay, fair enough. And Miami faces off against Toronto.
Interesting series. Now, Boss is apparently really jonesing to get back in.
So would I, but he's got a heart condition, and I'm not sure that they should even let this guy back on the court. We learned enough with Hank Gathers to say if you have a heart condition, you probably should be on the court.
Yeah, I'm not. I still like Miami either way. I don't have a great deal of faith in Toronto, although I am very happy that they were able to win a playoff series, considering how good they've been the last few years.
I agree, and you know Miami, as long as they stay healthy, it has a good squad. They're just old.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the last hurrah. They have far too many free agents at the end of this year as well, with Whiteside and Joe Johnson. I believe they have one other free agent along that line. But overall, that should be an interesting series. I know you don't think Atlanta could put up much of a fight. I'd give them six games. I think that will actually go six games. The West is obviously far more interesting and has far more talent.
Yes.
I mean, there's no question about it.
Well, and to be fair, Oklahoma can't be worse than they were Saturday night when they lost by 40.
Oh, great.
They can't be worse. Portland, that's a young team, and all credit to them, considering they lost 4/5 to their starting lineup. The only guy back from last year is Damian Lillard.
C.J. McCollum has played very well.
Well, he's probably the most improved player this year. He probably wins that award. He may have won it already.
I think he already won it.
But it's a team that still, talent-wise, is not there. And just even without Curry, Sean Livingston is not an enormous step. I mean, it's an enormous step down, but he's still a very competent player. So I think Golden State cruises in that series. Maybe Portland takes one game at home.
And we'll be back next week to figure out the rest of that because hopefully we'll only have two series left. Major League Baseball, not much to talk about. We've got seven more months, right? That's your favorite line. We've got seven more months of baseball. We don't need to talk about them until August.
Well, on the bright side, the Yankee season is over. But other than
that's not a bright side to me. That's a normal. I think I had mentioned that at the beginning of the year, that they are just old. I mean, we went to the game a couple of weeks back, and they are just an old, old team, and they have no hitting whatsoever. And Michael Kay was trying to make excuses for them last night on the broadcast, and he's like, there really are no excuses. It's just a very old team. I made this comment a couple of days ago. The Islanders remind me very much of the Mets last summer, and the Rangers remind me very much of the Yankees last summer, in which one team is going up and the other team is going down. And you see it now in baseball. The Mets won 8 in a row, finally got beaten by Madison Bumgarner last night. They have a solid team. They are going to be in that hunt, even though I still don't think they'll make the playoffs. But they will be in that hunt. So, got about five minutes left. A very happy birthday to my co-host from last night. Congratulations to his wife for putting on an extremely good and yummy party last night. It was well attended by 21 people. 21. I actually know that. They were 21. The balloons were festive. The food was great. The wine was great. Great job, Carly. Good to go. And the man cave is being prepared for Mr. King.
Yeah. It was a good time. My wife actually, I don't think it was that many people, but it was flattering. It was really enjoyable for very diverse group of people to come. And it was nice. What can I say? I gave my typical spiel. What I've looked at it is over the last 5 years. 35, Sean and I threw a party of 150 people.
Which was a lot more than last night.
Last night was not a party. I mean, 150 people. I didn't know where I was career-wise. I didn't know where I was girl-wise. Well, I had an idea. You know, I had a lot of fun. But, now I'm 40, a little bit balder, a little bit heavier.
Got a great wife.
Got a career that is going very, very well. I've been going for almost 4 years now.
And with one steady host.
With one steady host, which was pretty much my steadiest thing going for the first 2 years of it. And, you know, I thank you all for kind of, you know, for the encouragement and for the fun and for wishing me happy birthday on Facebook. I try to get back to everybody personally, but it takes a really long time. And I'm really happy with my life right now. So, you know, I wish that to everybody and especially to my co-host.
Turning 40, an interesting saga in life. Not exactly sure I am where I want to be, but you know what? There's still time.
You're hosting a sports radio show. What else would you want to be doing?
Drinking tequila, which I'm also doing at this time. But at the end of the day, you know what? Life is what you make it. We're having a great time here at Seth and Sean Sports Radio. We are very glad to have you all around for the ride. And here is to another 10 years of Seth and Sean Sports Radio. And we'll see you guys next week.